Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that our quiet on sing able. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! To Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Thank you.
baffling madness of the locomotive breath. Runs the all-time loser headlong to his death. Oh, it feels a piston scraping, steam breaking on his brow. Oh, Charlie stole the handle and the train in one stop. Oh, no, it could slow down. Sees his children jumping off the stations one by one. His woman and his best friend in bed and having fun. Oh, he's calling down the corridor on his hands and knees. Oh, Charlie stole the handle and the train in one. The silence howling catches angels as they fall. And the all-time winner has got him by the balls. Oh, he picks up Gideon's Bible, open at page one. I thank God he stole the handle and the train and won't stop. Oh, I know it could slow down.
date is December 6, 2015. This video was uploaded on the 4th, just a couple days ago. Lately, there have been numerous articles in the newspaper exposing Chinese communism. It is extremely important to share and analyze these stories because they are showing us what we are facing if we do not wake enough people up and take proper action. In the case of this story here, we learned how the Chinese government is really cracking down hard on any dissent to the point that they will literally torture you for gathering in a public place. I made the point in this video that around the world, every time there is a mass shooting, whether real or staged, we are seeing government respond in the same fashion. They are using these events to take power and in some cases shut down any kind of dissent. Now I have an LA Times article in front of me that talks about how France is moving in a direction where they are going to end up in a permanent state of emergency, or in reality, permanent martial law, where security trumps individual liberty. Now before I get into the main article of this video, I want to show you this side by side. I am showing you this now because it is too important to have it wait for the middle of the video. The clipping on the left is from the video I just showed you, the China story. The clipping on the right you are going to see twice, right now and then again as I go through the full article. Now I made the point in the China video from 2 days ago that we need to be very careful because we are sliding in the direction of the Chinese tyranny that we are seeing. And it only took a couple days for that statement to be proven correct. Here's what it said in the China story. Guo Feixiang, 49, was convicted by the Tianhe District People's Court in Guangzhou for assembling a crowd to disrupt public order. And I had said in the video, the public order is the communist government. Then over here in the France story, this is what it says. The new regulations make it easier for the authorities to shut down mosques, community associations, and websites deemed a threat to public order. So they are using the exact same language to describe the tyranny in France and the tyranny in China. And the worst part about the France story, just like some of the China stories I have shown in the past, the people are total slaves and they deserve whatever tyranny the government decides to impose on them. So this is the article right here. It is from the LA Times. It's on the front page. It is dated Friday, December 4, 2015, and it is titled, French Police Flexing Their New Powers. It was a typical Saturday night at the Pepper Grill, a halal burger and Tex-Mex restaurant in a Parisian suburb. Staffers were busy serving customers when police in full body armor, carrying rifles and riot shields, poured into the sleek red dining room. Video from the restaurant surveillance cameras show startled diners spinning around in their chairs. Police instructed them to remain seated and place their hands on the tables while they forced open doors with battering rams. Slaves. After searching the premises for about half an hour, the officers thanked AGAC and left. Local officials confirmed that nothing untoward had been found. Such seemingly heavy-handed police operations have been drawing attention in France after the killings of 130 people in shooting and bombing attacks in Paris last month prompted the introduction of a rash of security measures. The national state of emergency declared by French President François Hollande within hours of the November 13 bloodbath gave the security services broad powers to go after suspected extremists. Not terrorists, extremists. Across the nation, police have been breaking down doors, interrogating residents, detaining suspects, or placing them under house arrest, all without a warrant or orders from a judge. So it's very obvious who is benefiting from the Paris terrorist attack that took place on November the 13th. It's the government. It's the police state. A week after the attacks, the parliament voted to expand the emergency powers granted under a 1955 law enacted during France's war in Algeria and extend the state of emergency for 3 months. The new regulations make it easier for the authorities to shut down mosques, community associations, and websites deemed a threat to public order. So there it is again, public order, the communist state, and we have seen that France has indeed censored their internet because of terrorism. Now, I'm not just making this up when I say that they are censoring the internet in France. Here's a real-life example. This is We Are Change. Luke Radowski confirmed that We Are Change is being censored across France, and his French viewers are no longer able to view his content. So this is what happened because of terrorism. Terrorism that was caused by the French government's multiculturalism open-door policies. At least 3 mosques accused of preaching hate have been closed since last week. And of course, they will not mention the American journalist who's being censored by the French government. The aggressive moves are seen as an attempt by the country's leaders to regain the trust. They actually use the word trust here. Regain the trust of a shocked and frightened public after 2 major terrorist strikes this year. So this government thinks that by disarming the public, putting in a gigantic police state, and manipulating everyone with political correctness, that they are going to gain the trust of the public. Now, a free people would not buy into this bull. So the question is, are the French people a free people? And based on what I see in this article, they are not. But some human rights groups worry that the measures endanger France's cherished civil liberties. They can't carry guns, so I don't know what they're talking about. And could further alienate Muslim communities that have long felt isolated and aggrieved. Oh, the poor Muslims. They're only racist towards everyone who's not a Muslim. They only ban you from their neighborhoods if you're not a Muslim. They only want to kill you if you're not a Muslim. We have to pander to them after they kill a bunch of people and make them feel more welcome. Oh, they're so isolated. No, they're not. They want to be isolated. They don't want anyone that's different from them coming into their areas. And nobody forced them into France. They came on their own. So that's a bunch of crap that they're alienated and we have to worry about them. What a freaking joke. Since the Paris attacks, more than 2,200 raids have been carried out. So they won't go after the radicals before the attack. They wait for the attack to happen. Then they go after everybody. More than 230 people detained and 350 placed under house arrest, according to figures released this week. Many of those being swept up in the crackdown are people flagged as potential threats in the Security Service notorious S-Files. Lawyers with clients on the watch list contend that the evidence against them in many cases is scant. Attendance at a mosque that is under surveillance, for example, or a person's social media posts. Under the emergency rules, police no longer need hard evidence, that's discovery, that a suspect is involved in terrorism activities to carry out searches or detain the person. As of Wednesday, 13 people had filed complaints challenging the legality of their house arrest, all of which were rejected. One of the complainants said he was confined to his home 12 hours a day and required to check in with police 4 times during the other 12 hours, making it impossible to work. He defended the emergency measures in an address Wednesday, saying they had led to 346 legal cases. In 15 days, police had recovered 334 evil weapons, a third of the total for all of last year. Now, this part here is really important. It is terrorism that threatens liberties today, not the state of emergency. Now, let's break down this BS. Terrorism is not a person, it's not a group, it's not a country. Terrorism is a military tactic, just like law enforcement is a tactic. Terrorism is not stealing anybody's liberties. Whatever happened to the saying, if we give up our freedom, then the terrorists win? France is giving up all of their freedom, therefore, the terrorists are winning, so by definition, the state of emergency is stealing people's liberties. There have been other instances of what French media call abusive raids. In Nice, in the south of France, a 6-year-old was treated for minor injuries to the head and neck from shards of wood when police broke down the door to her family's apartment at 4:30 a.m. The child's father was thrown to the ground and handcuffed, according to news reports. Police later acknowledged they had the wrong address. And how many times have we heard the exact same story in America? The state of emergency does not signify the abandonment of a state of law. We will fight terrorism and we will defeat it with the weapons of the republic, of democracy, and with the strength of our values. So we have a situation where the state is 100% responsible for the terrorism because of their policies of multiculturalism and open borders. So because of the problem they have helped fester, they are now reacting with totalitarianism to stop the problem. That is the definition of the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, when we all know the solution is to arm the public and get rid of the gun-free zones. Criminals run away from gun-free zones. Hollande said that he would like to make changes to the Constitution to more effectively deal with the threat posed by terrorism, raising concerns among human rights activists that some of the emergency rules could be extended or become permanent. And that's the whole idea. This is forever. Remember, terrorism has no face. It has no nation. It is a tactic. It is a tactic that's been around since the beginning of time. Of course, this is going to be forever. Unless, of course, the French decide to take their country back, which it doesn't look like they are going to do. The government's tough stance has broad support among the French public. Slaves! I think the government reacted well and the Minister of Interior did what was necessary, said Christian Petou, a former primary school teacher who stopped by the Bataclan Concert Hall recently to pay his respects to the many people who died there last month. Slave. there will be some excesses in terms of human rights, but we are in exceptional circumstances which require exceptional measures. No, you have an exceptionally criminal government that needs to be reined in, and because of the way you are acting, you are a slave. Some dissenting voices have emerged, however. A number of labor unions and other non-governmental groups protested a ban on public marches and the use of the emergency rules to place 26 environmental activists under house arrest for the duration of the International Climate Conference in Paris. Now look at this. Security officials said the activists had a history of taking part in violent protests, and police needed to remain focused on the terrorist threat. Do you realize what that means? We just saw how this is probably going to last forever. The threat. So if the threat is going to last forever, and the police have an attitude of, we can't allow people to protest because we cannot keep track of the protesters and the terrorists at the same time, that means you are going to become China, where you will be arrested for attempting to disrupt public order. Look at this. Rights activists. I cannot believe they actually have to say the word rights activists. In other words, people who are not slaves. Rights activists cautioned the state of emergency could prove counterproductive and play into the hands of extremists if police appear to single out segments of the population that already feel stigmatized and discriminated against. Oh, the poor Muslims! Oh, they just want to kill everybody, but we got to be afraid of them, and we got to be more welcoming of them. Oh, these people are such a joke. We are paying the price for the blatant failures of the security services, said Yasser Louati, spokesman for the Collective Against Islamophobia in France. People feel like the government is declaring war on Muslims and not on terrorists. No, what they are doing is they're declaring war on everybody. You just saw French citizens who are put under house arrest because the police are unable to watch the protesters and the quote-unquote terrorists simultaneously. This is very bad. It's very obvious what's going on here. The government wants the terrorism because they could then act totalitarian, and because the French are already slaves, they are going along with it. That's all for now. Ground 61 signing out.
Always looking to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table on www.shazizradio.com. If you are interested in jumping in there and becoming part of the honorary Knights of the Round Table, just jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. There you get the opportunity to talk to not just the Shaziz Radio people, but the Awake Radio as well. There are other radio networks involved in rebroadcasting as well, people-to-people radio and multiple others that you can jump over on their websites. All the links are provided over there at ShazizRadio.com. So with that said, I played a podcast in there from a YouTuber called Grindall up there. He was talking about the Chinese version of freedom, you know, essentially, you know, communism on steroids. Anyway, there's been an episode that went down over there in France recently where, you know, people went in and supposedly shot up a place, and now the government's pretty well running amok, and they got a whole lot of extra powers on there. See, one of the problems that we've got going on here in the year 2015 is the fact that there's this revolving war on terror going on. You know, the eternal boogeyman that just never seems to go away. But every time an incident occurs, whether it be staged incidents or maybe potential real incidents, there's always one thing that stands true, regardless of which nation you're in, is that they are continuously depleting people's rights and freedoms. You know, every nation has a constitution, so to speak, but a lot of times those constitutions, there's individuals out there that want to replace certain things in those constitutions, such as over here in the United States, the Second Amendment's always under attack by the liberal groups out there that believe that if you take away the guns from the from everybody, then the bad guys won't have no guns to run around and shoot each other. But anyone with common sense knows that by definition, the criminals aren't going to follow the law, so they'll find ways to get guns. If not, they'll make them. In today's modern age, you can even print a gun with a 3D printer, you know. It doesn't have to be made out of metal. I've seen some pretty nifty spy versus spy things where they've made them out of everything from plastic to ceramics, you know, to where they're not even detected on metal detectors. But that's not necessarily what I'm wanting to talk about here today. What I'm wanting to talk about is the fact that all these individuals out there that are willing to sacrifice their freedom for security are going to end up just like some of the folks up in the movies there. In that podcast, which the link is provided there in the video for the video down there in the superchat.html over at shazizradio.com, he talks about how there were some folks at a restaurant that were minding their own affairs, just having dinner. Next thing you know, the police come smashing through the door and start smashing through other doors and searching the place down. Of course, they never found nothing whenever they did that. But either way, you know, exercising extensive police authority that they got because of the so-called terrorist acts. Well, if you get to a state to where now the police can just jump in your house anytime they want, and just because they're suspicious, or maybe even for the simple fact that they don't like you, looked at them crooked or something, you know, what kind of world is that to where you not only have to live in fear of the supposed boogeyman, but you also have to live in fear of the lawman, the supposed lawman that's supposed to be there to protect, to serve and protect? A long time ago, that serve and protect went down the drain. You know, after 9/11 over here in the United States, so many different things as far as freedom got depleted away from all the American citizens. A lot of folks didn't even realize that for the longest time, under the Patriot Act, there was a 100-mile radius all the way around the entire border of the United States that was classified as a constitution-free zone, to where they were running around. They didn't even know they didn't have any rights according to the Constitution, because it had been suspended under a watered-down version of martial law, so to speak. Then later on, after the National Defense Authorization Act came in, it turned the entire United States into a battle zone, to where, essentially, once again, your Constitution was under attack. So, you know, how long can this continue to go on before there is literally an uprising in the United States? You know, other countries out there that didn't have the luxury of the Second Amendment, where they had the right to keep and bear arms, you know, not only were at the mercy of the criminals, but they were also at the mercy of a potential corrupt government. And so, as we proceed on into the future here, as the humans here on this planet Earth, we got to proceed with caution, because we're on an edge. We're standing on the edge of the abyss, and to some extent, I think we've already went over that edge, and to where there could be potentially to the point of no return, to where we're not going to be able to get back our freedoms. You know, once those freedoms are taken away, it takes something extreme, such as a revolution, in order to be able to get back those freedoms from a tyrannical government. Now, here on ShazizRadio.com and all these other networks, we don't advocate no violent revolutions or anything like that. What we do advocate is paying attention and doing what you can while you can before you lose it. You know, we're not anti-government, we're anti-corruption. The corruption that goes out there in everything from the higher elite up there, the super wealthy bankers and special interest groups and corporations that, you know, want to make a lot of money. A lot of times when they get to a jam where they realize, wait a second, you know, we got a problem here, because when people find out what we do, and they're going to be mad, they're going to be coming for us. What better reason for them to want the gun control? That and the fact that if you want to put a free country under the rule of a United Nations, such as a, you know, a centralized tribunal somewhere in the world, you have to be able to be sure that you can unarm those people before you do it, because they're not going to go quietly into the night. Once a man has tasted freedom, he's going to hold on to that freedom, even if it requires him giving up his life. That's just the sad but true portion of the society that we live in. We live in a dangerous world. And so with that said, you know, because we live in a dangerous world, that Second Amendment is very valuable. You know, me personally, I live out in the country. It would take the law enforcement approximately 30 to 40 minutes to possibly an hour, or maybe not even get here before, you know, it's too late. Once the bad guy jumps through the door and starts shooting up the joint, if I'm not prepared, then I'm going down, and there ain't nothing that law enforcement can do about it, because it's a long time before they get here. Now, that's just common sense. So, what are we going to do about all this stuff right here? Do we live in freedom? Do we live in fear and give up our freedom for security? If you watch any of these videos out there, such as the Jericho series that was put on TV, it started back in 2006. It was a post-apocalyptic deal after some terrorists supposedly blew off some nuclear bombs in 26 American cities. And you would see how the people, the actual citizens themselves and the military and government officials reacted to the situation, where it was terrible. I mean, you didn't know who you could trust. You had to continuously live in fear. Every day was danger, not just for you, but for your children, and your children and your family could be used against you. All the things that you had stored up were in jeopardy of being stolen by, you know, gangs of criminals that wanted to come around and take what you got, because, you know, everything was scarce. And I don't want to live in a world like that, and I'm sure that nobody else out there wants to live in a world like that. But I'm not going to spend the rest of my life living in fear of the potential of this occurring, What I want to do is try to push some wisdom out there in the world and try to steer this world into a direction to where we are using common sense and paying attention and holding those that are in charge of our representation accountable for their actions before it gets too late. It's like this, you know. The best time to stop World War III isn't in the middle of it. It's before it ever even starts. Now, if you see what's going on over there in France about, people's doors getting kicked in and people not being able to legally protest because the government says that they're potentially dangerous and they have to watch out for the terrorists so they ain't got time to watch out for the protesters. If you fall into that right there, then every day is going to be a potential terrorist attack. Every day is going to be a potential extremist. And so you're just going to spend the rest of your life living like the poor individuals over in communist China, where they don't have a voice. The government is the voice. You know your place and shut your face, so to speak. I don't want to live in a country like that. And most folks around this world, in all nations, it doesn't matter which nation you come from, you don't want to live in a world to where you have to be told what you can do, what you can say, and if you get out of line, you face potential jail time or potentially even worse, to the extreme of death. Now, this is what we're dealing with here in this world that we live in. And I'm not trying to fear-monger everybody into being afraid. That's the last thing I want out of this whole deal. I don't want people to be afraid. I want people to be aware. I want people to be awake and wise and to pay attention to what's going on around them, to pay attention to legislation in their local groups that's being passed, that potential laws, bills that are put up in front of Congresses and Senates and parliaments and so on and so forth, so that you know ahead of time what they're trying to do. And follow the trail back of who's promoting this kind of deal. You know, our governments who say that they're out there to protect us and then turn around and up the other side of their neck try to pass laws that will deplete the only document that stands between us and a tyrannical government such as the United States Constitution. Once you start picking that document apart, and once you start depleting those rights on there, the First Amendment, you know, the freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, those were put into place for a reason by some wise men back in the day that knew that if these weren't law, if these weren't a contract between the people and the government to say, we will allow you to represent us as the government, but you have to follow these guidelines. You can't cross these lines, and once you do, then we have the authority to take back our government. And this is what the government that is in play right now is afraid of. So you have to get rid of the Second Amendment if you're a government and you want to be tyrannical. You have to make sure that the people can't fight back. You have to make sure that they don't know enough about history to understand what happened before so that they can defend themselves from this happening in the future. So with that said, we've got three people on here today. We've got Honorable Knight Barry on here and Justin and doggone it, Raymond, I forgot your name. Raymond. So, what do you guys think, man? What's your thoughts on what I was talking about?
I think you're 100% correct. And the main thing is what you just said there at the very end. He who does not study history is doomed to repeat it. History says that when you take guns away from the individual good people, then the bad people have guns and they control. They rule.
Well, and I agree wholeheartedly. The perpetual fear that, you know, the terrorist is going to get you, the boogeyman's going to get you, they use that, man. You think these governments aren't using that to manipulate people? And the mainstream media, the mainstream media sickens me to my core, because these are supposedly Americans, but yet they are sitting there perpetuating and helping along an agenda that, you know, whether it be Agenda 21, you know, the whole depopulation thing, you know, or the one world government situation, they're perpetuating it because they should be in fear of that government as well, because once those rights are gone, it's straight across the board. It's not just for me, Raymond, or you, or Barry, or Justin. It's for everybody. You see what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. Now, it was only just a few months ago, they got some guy in California that had 200 or 300 rifles and pistols and over 200,000 rounds of ammunition. They arrested him and fined him. My God, he caught. The same guy in Georgia would be the most eligible bachelor in the county. He'd be your bestest hunting buddy. In Texas, he'd be your neighbor down the street, the little bit short on ammunition. I mean, come on, when you take guns away from private individuals, then the criminals are the only ones that have guns. And for every criminal, there's at least 100 to 150 good people. But they can't defend themselves. And you were right. The law can't be, you cannot take the police and ask them, please, live in my house so that you can protect me. I mean, come on.
They're not going to park right outside your house and keep an eye on it for whenever you want to go to work and don't want burglars in your house, or, you know, or if you're trying to sleep, and they're not going to be your private security. You have to you have to call and ask them for help before they'll even come down, or they have to be just by chance in the neighborhood and see a crime being committed, or you're just not even on the radar. But
okay, true story. A little bitty town in West Texas, years ago, not too many either, the sheriff went to the city council and asked them to pass a law, a rule, that every man, every male, within the city limits, above the age of 21, had to be deputized as a deputy sheriff and carry a firearm. The council approved it. The men did it. They all the men, 21 years old and older, met at the courthouse and were sworn in as deputy sheriffs. Every one of them got a gun and put it on their side.
Well, you know, in today's...
Within 48 hours, petty crime in that town dropped 98%.
I believe it. In today's world, you know, with all the, you know, they're telling us, the government's telling us, the mainstream media is telling us that terrorists are out to get us, all right? So with that kind of environment, I would think that would be straight across the board. Every state would want to be doing that as well, because, you know, like you said, 98% dropped in crime. You know, nobody's going to run into a neighborhood that is loaded down with guns and start trying to rob people.
Really? The town you're talking about, Raymond, I don't have the name of the town right on the tip of my tongue, but when that article came up, believe it or not, I searched the town. I'm a carpet layer by trade. So I searched that town for a carpet store, and I came up with a carpet store, and I phoned it, and I wanted to talk to the gentleman and find out if this link that I read on the internet is true. What they're requiring is everybody in town must own a firearm. That's a city ordinance. There's nobody in town that cannot have a firearm. So I phoned this gentleman up at a carpet store, and I talked with him for about half an hour. And he said, yeah, I was sitting on the board when this ordinance was passed, and that is a law in our town that everybody must possess a firearm. So kudos to them. And I can't remember the name of the town, but I had a conversation with him for about 20, 25 minutes on the phone. It was really cool.
Something, guys?
It makes sense.
We have a nuclear arsenal here in the United States, right? And the whole theme behind a nuclear arsenal is that if you project power, if you project strength, that there's at least a lesser chance that you're going to be attacked by another nation, you know? And so they're not going to want to rush right out there and use those things just because they got them in their hand. You know, unless you get some crazy nutcase criminal up inside there that pushes the red button just for fun. But even at that, they still have checks and balances so that it's not, you know, it's not happening. But the fact that the government has that kind of power at their fingertips, and they do that so that it's a deterrent. It's not, you know, it's to get the people to not want to attack you. And what that town showed was pretty much the same thing. It's a deterrent. You know, you're not going to run up in there if you're a criminal and start trying to rob people, because everybody in that town's armed. Are they going to go around shooting each other just because they got guns? No, because other people in that town are armed.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? If you know you're going to break into a house with that person's arm, you're going to think twice about breaking into that house. He says there's no crime in their society, man. It's dropped dramatically since they brought this ordinance in. So I think that should be an example for the rest of the United States of America.
Well, the scary thing is that...
every city in the world.
The scary thing is that the places in the world where they have strictest gun controls have a lot more violent crimes, such as stabbings and beatings and stuff like that. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get stabbed or beat, you know. You could die from those just as well as you could from a bullet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're right, Jesus. You know, you realize that in the United States of America, in the past 2 years, 47 people were killed with assault rifles. In the past year, over 3,000 people were killed with claw hammers. Come on, folks. We're going to outlaw claw hammers?
Well, you know, we live in a dangerous world, and it's sad that we have to live in a dangerous world because the people of the world haven't become enlightened enough to understand that, you know, they got to not do these things, all right? And unfortunately, regardless of what happens, we're always going to live in a world to where you got crazies, you know? But for this to be such a widespread... everything's a terrorist kind of thing. You're talking about something that never will end. The boogeyman has been around since the day I was born, and the boogeyman's still around. The boogeyman's under the bed. The boogeyman's in the closet. You know, the boogeyman's behind the bush and out in the dark. You know, how many boogeymans are out there?
Yeah, my point is, if for every one boogeyman, there's 150 or more good people.
Yeah.
If the people carry guns, then the boogeyman wouldn't do anything because he'd be afraid of getting shot. That's why he carries a gun, so he can threaten you. But yeah. If you got a gun, he can't threaten you.
As soon as the boogeyman jumps out behind the bush at Ma and Pa Kettle's house, he hears a big old boom and he's no longer, see? One less boogeyman.
And instead of chastising the person that shoots the bad guy, give him a reward.
Well, see, I don't advocate in shooting anybody. I don't advocate violence by any means. But what is the key about this whole deal? It's like this, man. I got a fast little car, and, you know, it'll do it. And do I have to speed? No, I don't have to speed. But if I ever need to speed, it's there. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. You said it. One word you said a while ago explains everything. Deterrent.
Yep.
It's a deterrent. If everybody carried a gun, there would be less crime because it would deter the criminals from committing a crime. The reason in that little town Barry was talking about, the reason the crime dropped because they knew that if they broke into this house, there might be somebody in there with a gun and might shoot them.
Yeah, and pretty much all of them that I've heard of so far, all the supposed mass shootings out there, always occurred in gun-free zones. I mean, for Pete's sake, this last episode here that supposedly went down, they went and shot up a special needs school. You see what I'm saying? What kind of person, first off, would shoot up a special needs school?
Really? You know? Think about that. They've got to be crazy.
You
sick
know,
in the mind.
So
I said before on the same show, I don't believe in capital punishment. However, I do believe in culling your orchard. Somebody breaks the law, a heinous crime, they're sick. Somebody beats somebody to death with a claw hammer, they're sick. You don't punish a peach tree with blight. You cut it down and you burn it so it will not infect the rest of your orchard. You don't punish it. You don't cut it down and beat it up with chains and throw it into a mulching machine. You burn the damn thing. You burn it. You get rid of it. You cull your orchard.
Well,
you don't
essentially,
punish somebody by putting them to death, but you protect the other people by eliminating that person.
There are some places in this world where you can literally be killed for what you say.
Yes.
That ain't freedom. You know, and.
No, that's the,
all these folks out here that believe that they're going to give away their freedom for security, they're going to be just like Thomas Jefferson. They're not going to get what he said. You know, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. You're not going to get either or, you know. And that's just the way it works. It's sad but true. But If you haven't watched the series Jericho yet, I suggest go out and watching that and seeing how people react. And, you know, they say life imitates art. It's ironic that this was going on back in 2006, I believe it was, whenever they made this series. But if you watch the correlations between everything, one of the things that was said in that video series was that we went over and bombed the crud out of Iran and North Korea. Now, who's in the mainstream media nowadays? Iran and North Korea. Is that what's really going to happen here? We're going to have a false flag attack here on our soil, where some folks that feel like, you know, in order to speed up change in society and being able to change history and all that kind of stuff, they're going to have to put out some big old massive false flag terrorist event that now with all these powers in play by the government.
That's funny you say that, Shazaz, because, like, I'm a little bit younger than you, but in North Korea, like, weren't there people really, like, able to be seen, like, just like what's taking place with the refugees coming in here, like, they're easily noticeable? Like, well, they rounded them up. Did you not round them all up in camps and stuff?
You know, back in World War II, they had what was called internment camps, where they rounded up Japanese Americans, which was a doggone shame, you know. Well, now they're not
but
just...
Weren't they at war with the Italians and stuff like that, too? But they weren't... Like, you couldn't separate them. You couldn't, you know, tell the difference. So they used that, like what they're doing here. They're bringing the refugees in, and they're easily noticeable. And across Canada, people are already scraping bus stops, and they're harassing the women. Like, Canada is supposed to be like one of the most multicultural countries, and yet doesn't want to accept what's taking place after there. And Canada's starting to show what's taking place.
Well, yeah, you can see it. Those are signs of things to come. What you guys are facing over there and what France is going through right now, those are signs to come. And it'll be straight across the board for everybody because, you know, everything's a potential terrorism attack, all right?
And I kind of find it funny, though, because, like a year ago, ISIS was saying that we're coming to your country, we're going to bring war to your country, and now they're letting them come here?
Like, not...
Bringing
them in. Yeah! Now, doesn't that put up a red flag? Doesn't that put up a red flag when somebody tells you that they're coming to attack your country and your southern border's wide open and nobody cares?
Yeah. Or your government all of a sudden is bringing 25,000 in
from
Syria without proper screening processes. Because that's exactly what's happening in Canada right now.
Grindel.
Our Prime Minister is bringing in 25,000 Syrians, and they're not going through our normal 10-month screening procedure for immigrants. They're not going through proper health checks. The database that they're using to screen these people is provided by the government in Syria. Well, come on, guys. What kind of a database do they have?
Grindel mentioned...
I've been here for a while. I've been in school. I go to school. Okay, and the school here in Niagara region is very multicultural, okay? But you can tell that they've been coming here since September. I can tell they've formed groups, and you can see, and you can tell.
Grindel mentioned in his video there that the word Hegelian dialectic, I can't even say it right, but basically problem, reaction, solution. All right, and that's what we're seeing. They create the problem, they get the reaction that they want, and they jump in there. Hey, look, we're Superman. We got your solution. We'll fix it all up, you know. And they're gonna do the humane thing and bring these supposed refugees in. But in the midst of bringing the refugees in, they're bringing in an army. Literally, in every single nation, they are bringing in an army. People of this world are being set up. That's plain and simple.
Of course. Does anybody out there know what sleeper is?
Yeah, that's what we got in the White House right now.
Exactly. That's why, and Barry Prince just pointed it out. They've got sleepers that have been here for years and years, slowly working their way up in politics in Canada, Australia, the United States, for years,
They've planted people, and the main thing is they fed them money so that they can get into politics and do exactly what you guys are talking about right now. Bring people into different countries, free countries, and build an army. That's exactly what it is. So if anybody needs to be investigated, it's the politicians that are pushing these programs to bring these people in without checking out who they are. These politicians are one of the sleepers.
Well, that's my point exactly. Go ahead, Barry.
Go ahead. I was going to say, why all of a sudden the push by our Prime Minister to bring citizens from one specific area of the world? I mean, we have this push all of a sudden to bring these Syrians into Canada. If this doesn't get people's attention, something is really wrong with society, because it's pretty obvious that they're not screening them properly. They're allowing people into the country that are Islamic radical. It's because we know for a fact that one-third of Syria's population, by their own admittance, is Islamic radicals. So if we're bringing 25,000 of them into our country and they're not going through proper screening process, what is the agenda? Well, we know what the agenda is: the total destabilization of the West. When it comes time, these people will attack us. We will see false flags, we'll see false flags, we'll see false flags, and everyone that happens, the government will just ramp up more security, It all playing into their agenda, and if people can't see this, guys, they really have their eyes closed.
Well, they're wanting order out of chaos, and to some extent, so far, here in the United States, it's backfiring on them, because every time there's a supposed school shooting, the gun stores get really good business, because the American people...
But they just jump in sales.
Yeah, the gun sales go skyrocket every single time one of these happens. Every time the president comes out there and utters out of his mouth, we got to have common sense gun laws, and I'll use my pen to do it, so to speak, you know. But executive order, whatever. But the American people so far aren't buying it, and that's a good thing. What fears me the most about this whole scenario, there's going to come a point in time when somebody's going to get busted. The mainstream media is going to get caught red-handed, blatantly lying about some sort of episode, or the government's going to push the hands of the American people too doggone far, and then we're going to be in the midst of a real, real chaos, such as the Second Civil War. And I got news for everybody out there who thinks that they're a tough guy. There is no way in under this world that anybody can win a Second Civil War. Number one, the governments have stocked up, and they have all kinds of stuff. And the American people have done the same. You will have the biggest unorganized, chaotic bloodbath in the history of time, and nobody's going to win that war. I guarantee you. On the other side of that deal, what's going to end up happening is the United Nations going to come rolling in. Other governments are going to hit us while we're down. You're going to have nothing but mass chaos, and eventually what would escalate into a literal World War III episode, such as what they talk about, mutual assured destruction, where, you know, hey, this is it, you know, you fire them if you got them, because that's what's going to happen. You see what I'm saying here? This ain't leading in a good direction at all.
They're pushing it harder. They're pushing it harder and harder and harder all the time. They're pushing the American people's backs against the wall right now. They want to fight with the American people. They've been preparing for it a long time. We know, guys, one thing we got to keep in mind, too, is, you know, their technology they allow us to know they have is probably 50 years behind what they actually possess. And they're pushing for an armed revolution. That's what the government wants, because when civil war starts, then, of course, martial law is declared. Every executive order that Obama has signed in the last 7 years of his presidency becomes active. And Americans lose every right that they ever had, and you'll never get them back. When we get to that point and martial law is implemented, then we're in a situation where we'll not get out of the pit. We're going to fall over the edge, and there won't be any coming back.
Well,
be it tomorrow.
There's a flaw.
We got to watch against that shit. This is the one thing I really kind of... I mean, I look at everything they're doing right now, buddy, and I tell you, they're pushing us towards an armed revolution. That's what they want. We even though we want to go to an armed revolution because we're frustrated, we're at a point where we just don't know what to do, that's the last thing I feel we have to do. We have to come together as a people and challenge this legally. Because, like I said, buddy, if we go to an armed revolution, guys, we're done.
Yep.
That's my feeling.
And there is a flaw in the elite's plan, because, you know, they've got all these bunkers that they planned on being able to retreat to while all the chaos is going on so that they can keep continuity of government and safety. But what they have failed to recognize is that the moment they go up inside those doggone bunkers, they will become tombs, literally. They will not exit those bunkers. Mark my words, that whenever it's all said and done, if this comes down to an all-out conflict, whether it be a Civil War event or World War III, the moment they go up into those bunkers, they just sealed their fate. They will never come out of those bunkers again. There are individuals out there who know where these bunkers are. There are individuals out there who already have plans on how to seal them bunkers up permanently where they will never get out. And I'm telling you, folks.
Perfect place for them then. We'll just, yep. They're in there too.
You better rest assured, if you're one of the elites out there, once you go up inside that dang rabbit hole that you got, and after you done created all this chaos, that's where you're going to remain for eternity, right there, up inside that concrete-reinforced tomb that you just created for yourself, because the people out here in this world aren't stupid as you think they are, you know? And if they're going to die outside... If they know that they're going to die outside, no matter what, they're going to die outside. They're going to make sure that you never come out of that bunker. Mark my words. That's what's going to happen. And I pray to God it don't, because, you know, I got grandchildren, and I want my grandchildren to be able to live in peace, love, and freedom, you know, and enjoy their future grandchildren. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yes,
I don't think I don't think people really realize just how bad a situation we are in right now, guys. I don't think the general population, as a rule, has any idea exactly what's coming down. If they did, we'd see a mass revolution right now. But people are still in their little worlds. They're still watching TV. There's still a hockey game on at night. And a lot of people just don't want to get out of their comfort zone. They don't want to even think that the government is going to turn against them. But a lot of people in their hearts, they know that this is coming. So we're in a very, very, very dangerous time right now, guys. I mean, you emphasized that earlier, Shaziz. I'll reiterate on that, buddy. We are at a time right now in human history, it's going to go one way or the other. There's not going to be an in-between, because something has to give. We cannot keep going the way we are.
We're standing on the edge of the abyss, brother, and if we haven't creeped over the edge already, you know, once we go over that abyss, there's no turning back. And I'm telling you, I seen it with my own two eyes. What the path that this world is on, it is not pretty. And if you think, anybody out there thinks that anybody's going to win World War III, you're sadly mistaken. You know, and if you think that anybody in this world could win a second Civil War, you're sadly mistaken. The only way to stop this right now is to pay attention and start using the laws that we already have in place to hold these folks' feet accountable for what they've done. You know, and to put them in the spotlight so everybody knows, you know, it's like this. If you got a house out there and you're infested with roaches, they're not one roach in sight, unless it's really god-awful bad, which is pretty doggone nasty, but there's not one roach in sight when the light's on. But you turn those lights off, and they'll be crawling. All right, the whole key to what I just said right there is to keep the lights on, keep the lights shining on, because the roaches will scurry when they see the people, the sleeping giant coming in the room. You see what I mean?
Yep.
That's the only hope we got, you know? If you're not a religious person, if you don't believe that there's a higher power, a divine intervention that could be potentially come down here and protect the good people of the world, then you're on your own. You're up against the government. That's it. That's all you got. Period. Did we lose Barry?
Yeah. Where'd he go?
I don't know. Maybe his internet dropped off on him.
And mine did yesterday.
So what do you think, Raymond? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. The thing is, the part about if you don't believe in God, or I personally believe if you do believe in God, it says in the Bible, the Lord helps them who help themselves. I mean, he's not going to come down here and protect you from criminals. I mean, there's a lot of religious people, they get mugged, beat up, shot, killed, aimed, butchered, raped. I mean, come on.
God helps those who help themselves. Get you a daggone pistol.
Well, my point in saying that...
It was so you can deter somebody from hurting you.
My point in saying that is pretty much everybody's got all their faith in a centralized government out there in each of the nations, you know? And they trust that this government has their good intentions at stake. When in reality, just like I mentioned about the police, they're not going to be able to protect every single individual out here. You're always going to have the potential of some knucklehead doing something they ain't supposed to, breaking the law. So
now you said those people who have faith in the government. Duh, I've said it 50 times. He who does not study history is doomed to repeat it. Study your history, folks. I mean, you know, if you got faith in your government, duh, study what they're doing and study what they did in the past and how it worked out. Hey, gun control, that is a way of controlling the populace. If people don't have guns, they can't fight back. And that way you can do whatever you want to them. So anybody that is against gun control, I mean, for gun control, I got news for you. Gun control controls only those people that obey the law. It does not control criminals. So to think that by controlling guns, you control criminals, you've got to be some kind of weirdly stupid person.
Well,
and I hate to say that, but there are stupid people in this world. And when I say stupid, I'm talking capital letters and quotation marks.
Well, the thing about it is, the very first murder documented in history was done with a rock, you know? And you can't ban rocks because we're standing all over them. Everybody has access to a rock. But no, everybody's not picking up a rock and bashing nobody's head in, all right? And so common sense has to come into play here. The Second Amendment wasn't for protection against the bad guys. It was for protection against a tyrannical system that could get out of control and start forcing people to, let's say you're an atheist and the wrong government gets in control and they force you to believe in God. They force you to be a Christian or a Muslim or a Buddhist or whatever. They choose that for you, and if you don't like that, then they kill you. All right, that's a tyrannical government. Right now, you have the freedom of speech. You have the freedom of religion. You have the freedom, the right to keep the bare arms. The moment you lose all those rights, you have no more choices. If you're in communist China and you decide you don't like something the government does, and you go out there and speak out or gather a bunch of people together, the Chinese government will come over there and they will mop you and throw you in jail and re-educate you, and you will do what they say, period. Or die. It's that simple. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to scare people into being afraid of their government. I'm not anti-government. Never have been anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-stupidity. I'm anti-lack of common sense.
Right. 100%.
And that's what we got to get to. We got to get to a point where everybody out there starts to pay attention. And when I talk about paying attention, I'm not just talking about paying attention to what the government's doing. I'm talking about paying attention to what the educational system's doing. You know, when they start changing history, you know, this guy in history, oh, well, suddenly now he's a terrorist. First he was the guy that gave you the Constitution. Now he's a terrorist. All right? Everybody's a terrorist. All right, and the changing of science, the changing of history, you know, some things in history happened and they weren't good, all right, but they still need to be taught, because that's what you mentioned earlier, Raymond, was that if you ignore history, history will repeat itself over and over again.
Yes, it will. I mean, it's done it.
Yeah.
They don't teach true history in schools. They do not teach true history in schools because they don't want to offend anybody. Offend somebody? How can you offend somebody by telling the truth?
Well, if you got a group of individuals running around out there supposedly chopping off people's heads and shouting Allah Akbar every time they turn around, every time they do it, then, and they claim to be from the Muslim community, then chances are you might want to keep an eye on that. And if you look at any other Muslim just because, then suddenly you're racial profiling or you're abusing the Muslim community. But
right.
They, in their own words, are shouting it. All right, that's what they believe in. They got to kill the infidel. All right. Now I'm not saying you got to be afraid of every Muslim out there. What I'm saying is, you judge people by their actions. If they're going out there and they're trying to harm people, those you go after. If they're not bothering anybody, if they're not trying to be a terrorist or associating with those kind of people, and if they come out there in their own mouth and they speak out against these individuals, hey, look, I'm from Islam, I'm a Muslim, and I wouldn't do that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what our Quran says to do. All right? You don't got Christians running around chopping people's heads off. And if you do find those people that call themselves Christians chopping their heads off, you go after them. You see what I mean?
Yes. Yes. 100%.
I call myself a Christian.
Christians can be called five or six buttholes, you know? If you don't deal with the Muslim religion, because of a couple thousand idiots. You go after the idiots. Like I said, I don't believe in capital punishment.
Your microphone's cutting out real bad, Raymond.
I'm sorry. I said I don't believe in capital punishment, but I do believe in cutting your arms.
Well, I believe in common sense laws such as you punish the guy that did the wrong, not everybody and his brother, you know? Every time something happens, you feel like you got to go and straight across the board. This guy over here got a paper cut, so we're banning paper. You can't have paper anymore.
Yeah. Okay. 47 people in 2 years were killed in the United States with assault rifles. How many people were killed? And we want to be
caught. Can you reset your microphone, Raymond?
Yeah, you're breaking up pretty bad.
Is that even better?
Yeah, so far.
Okay. Anyway, 47 people in 2 years in the United States were killed with assault rifles. So now all of a sudden, everybody wants to control guns. They want gun control. How many people were killed by automobiles in the past 6 months? We're not trying to ban automobiles, are we? No, we're passing
alcohol.
If you drink and drive, you go to jail. Okay.
Well, that's what laws are for the guys that do the wrong, you know.
Exactly. But so if somebody is drinking and driving, then they need to go to jail.
Yeah, we're gonna have to outlaw plumbing now, guys, because plumbing has pipes, and people are making bombs out of pipes. So we better outlaw plumbing.
Yeah. And you can't can foods anymore because pressure cookers were supposedly used as bombs.
I mean, come on, think about this a minute. You've got outlaw claw hammers. Oh my God. Heaven forbid, 237,000 people died last year by mistakes. It's plain mistakes made by doctors and hospitals. So now all of a sudden we're going to outlaw doctors and hospitals?
Well, but what about all those poor individuals who slipped on the bar of soap in the bathtub and broke their neck, okay?
How about the 137?
You're going to ban the soap too?
Died last year from prescription drugs.
Yeah, how about the 27,000 that died in Canada? Are we going to outlaw prescription drugs now?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, think about this.
Hey, let me try to reset this call because everybody's breaking up real bad. All right, hang on a second. Well, we're trying to reset a call. Yes, I want to make the call, but there we go. It's modern technology. You gotta love it. You're listening to ShazizRadio.com over Knights of the Round Table. So jump over there to the superchat.html and visit with us all. You guys back now?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, you're sounding better now. You's all like, you sound like some sort of alien stuff going on.
The boys at Skype are playing around this morning.
Well, you know, we're talking common sense, and normally when that happens, those alphabet soup guys out there, they don't like what we're saying, so we're probably on a list.
You're talking about schools. You were talking about schools a little bit earlier in the show there, Shaziz. Well, I just posted a link there in chat for you guys, and if you get a chance, when you get a chance later today, have a listen to this, because when I first really started paying attention to what they're doing in Ontario with the sex education programs in the school, to say it shocked me would be an understatement. This is so off the wall and so devious and so deep and so evil, I can't even begin to wrap my mind around what they want to teach our children at ages of 6 and 7 years old. I mean, it is right off the wall, Shaziz. I mean, they're talking sexual explicit pictures to children that are 6 and 7 years old to describe body parts, like a vulva.
Well, it's disgusting.
This is really, really, I mean, Shaziz, this has shocked me more. I've been aware of this program for a while, but you guys just have to have a listen to those couple videos that I posted there when you get a chance. It will shock the heck right out of you guys.
It's really disgusting because outside of that circle, it's considered as child pornography, but yet the school is so showing stuff like that or talking about stuff. You know, I think it's up to the parents to teach the kids about the birds and the bees. It ain't up to the doggone government, you know?
Exactly.
And
thousands of people in Ontario now are keeping their children out of school in process of this program.
Well,
tens of thousands.
The biggest problem came about whenever, instead of the schools being localized, they become governmental organizations. Once the school took money from the government, it was all downhill from there. Now everything had to be politically correct, and you couldn't say God, you couldn't say this and that, because you had the separation of church and state. You find yourself a private school and send your kid there if you think that private school is a good school. You send your kid there. That'll save you a whole lot of headache.
Mm-hmm. Private schools are doing a very good business right now, Shaziz.
Yep. And unfortunately, the public schools, because the government has their hand in the public schools, they pull this whole separation of church and state, which is not in the Constitution, by the way. There's no phrase in the United States Constitution that says separation of church and state. It only says that Congress can't establish no religion, so they can't force you into believing what they want you to believe. Doesn't say you can't talk about God or wear a cross around your neck.
You're right there.
It's disgusting. You know, you got old World War II monuments that just so happen to have a cross on there or a Bible phrase. And now, because it's sitting on government property, you got some jerk atheist coming out there saying, well, we got to get that off there because I'm offended by it. You know?
I'm going to do a 2-hour show next Sunday on this issue, and I've got two experts joining me. So maybe you guys want to listen in next Sunday. This is something that's very near and dear to my heart because I have grandchildren and children, and what they're doing is absolutely shocked me to death. So I'm standing against it very hard, guys, and I'm very actively involved in educating people about what's going on in this program. We all have to become aware of what's going on in our schools because this is going right through Canada right now. This is just not Canada. This is around the world. It's a joint attack on our children's morality around this planet. I mean,
let me point out something real quick. During that series Jericho, there was an army, a standing army, because the country got divided, and they came out with this flag that had the stripes going in the other direction. And they seemed to be like the saviors to bring back peace and all that kind of stuff. But the scary part was they started distributing history books to all the different towns as they was building these towns back up. And some folks had noticed that in these history books, history had been changed. It had been rewritten from what everybody was taught through the real history books. So you got a situation now where you're going to start telling the kids all this kind of stuff, and they're going to grow up believing it, like the kids right now believe in evolution and climate change, whether you believe in it or not. You know, I feel like if you're going to teach evolution, you should teach creationism as well, to give them the opportunity to choose for themselves. You know, how we got here, that kind of stuff. But when it's a one-sided view of a skewed history, you could teach them anything. You know? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's dangerous, because now you have a population who never even knew that they were free.
You see what I mean? The last thing they want people to know is history. And you're absolutely right. They're taking history away from us. Because history repeats itself. And if people study history, they'll understand what we're seeing today is an exemplification of what's happened before in history and what's happened to these societies that collapsed. What we're seeing right now is a duplication of what happened in Rome prior to the collapse of Rome. Gladiator state, total demoralization of the society, anything goes, bestiality in the street, sex in the street. Well, we're getting very, very close to that in America right now. I mean, look at the laws they just passed in Germany about acceptance of pedophiles in our society. I mean, society is spiraling down at light speed. I've never in my 61 years on this planet seen an acceleration of events like I'm seeing right now.
Yeah.
It absolutely boggles me, Shaziz. It's gotten me to a point, and you know what? A lot of people that are in the alternative media will share the same opinion with me right now, Shaziz, that if we try and look at everything that's going on right now in our world, which we do, we go down the rabbit holes every day, and we all know what's going on, but if you get into them right now, you'll become very, very scattered, because there's so many things going on. So I'm trying to focus on certain issues and certain issues only, because there's just too much going on. And if you dwell into it all, you'll fry your brain.
Well, one thing,
fried my brain.
One thing's for sure, the folks that are behind all this evil they're persistent, all right? They are definitely committed to getting their agenda through. And if you don't believe there's evil in this world, then you ain't been paying attention. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. That's all I got to say about that.
Earlier, in fact, both of you have mentioned earlier about a revolution and a non-power revolution. And a thought came to mind here about a college that here a few years back on their graduating day, the dean apologized to all the students because they couldn't say a prayer and so forth. And his speech went on and on and on, but then he finally just walked off the pulpit or stadium, whatever it was, stage for the microphone was, and everybody was quiet, but nobody whispering to each other. One student got up, walked up to the microphone, looked at the student body, and sneezed. The entire student body stood up and said, "Bless you." Bloodless revolution. Say you can't say prayers at school? Work around it.
Well, you may not always agree with people being jerked, but you also have to realize that if you don't allow them the luxury of being a jerk, then you know you ain't got no room to talk either direction. Now, I like the whole do no harm premises of things, you know. But you're not going to get every single individual out there to agree on every single thing under the sun. Just like you're not going to be the criminal to decide not to be a criminal unless there's some sort of outside influence such as the Second Amendment that says, hey, you might not want to go on up into that house because that individual ain't going to tolerate your shenanigans. He's armed to the teeth.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
you got California with 200,000 rounds of ammunition. In Texas, he'd be over down the street just a little bit short of ammunition.
Well,
I'm from Texas.
What we should be able to take away from this whole doggone deal here today is alertness and awareness and being awake to your surroundings out there. You know, Sometimes people think the government's got good intentions, but the road to disaster was paved by good intentions. All right, if you see the history of the things that were tried and they failed, then you might want to not repeat those same things. Nazi Germany had the exact same things going on. They had gun control, they had shootings and so on and so forth, and then bam, suddenly gun control came in. And then at a certain point, people started getting rounded up. And there's folks out there who will even argue with the fact that it even happened to begin with. I don't know, because I wasn't there. All I can tell you is that my grandfather fought in World War II. I saw the scars up his back from that war. And I know the stories that I have been told from him. And my grandfather had no reason to be telling me that terrible things were happening over there if terrible things weren't occurring. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. It's all about studying history, folks.
Yeah, if you study history, really study history about World War II, you'll come to the conclusion that the war was propagated by both sides, by the banksters. It was a fabricated war, just like every other war that's gone on for the last 100 or 200 years in human history. Both sides have been supported by the banks. People have to look at history, and you'll understand what's going on in our world right now, why we have perpetual warfare.
Yeah, but
warfare,
you said something. Stop. You said something really, really important yesterday, Barry. I believe it was yesterday. You said that it's not the wealthy people that are out there fighting it. It's our poor. It's our poor people.
Of course, you don't see President Bush sending his kids to Vietnam, or you don't see anybody of authority sending their children out to fight. It's the poor people of our country that are set to fight the poor people of their country, and the banksters make billions doing it. We are just nothing but pawns in a big game. We're here to make money for them, to make taxes, to be good servants, to go to war when they tell us to go to war, lay down our lives for a false idealism. That's the bottom line, guys, and I've studied this for years now. And if somebody had told me years ago that the Second World War, if somebody had told me when I was growing up as a young person that the Second World War was supported by the banksters and it was nothing but a big pawn game, I would have told them they're crazy. But now I'm totally convinced of that because I've done the research. So I tell people, you have to look at history. It's like fluoride water. It's like fluoridation in our water, man. If you, the most important thing about people to understand about fluoridation in our water is to study the history, to see how it was implemented into our society, the group of people that were involved, who those people were involved with, their direct connections to the chemical companies at that point were spending thousands of dollars to dispose of fluoride. It couldn't be disposed in normal land sites because it was too toxic. It is one of the most dangerous poisons in the world, and yet now it's in every aspect of our society. It's all about control mechanisms. It's about the government being behind fluoridation of water right from day one. They knew it was dangerous, but here it is widespread in our community. It's absolutely insane. Well, it's insane. People have to do history. They have to look at where it came from.
Let me bring something else up again. Let me bring something else up again. There was a show out there that I mentioned called Ascension. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you watch it. I think there's only like 13 episodes on there. But these folks, they started off with a group of people that they thought these people honestly thought that they were going to go into deep space and that their journey was going to take 90 years, and they would have children on there, and then their children would take over, and so on and so forth. But all along through this entire deal, they never were in space. They were in the simulator, and all they knew was what they seen and what they heard. Just like back in World War II, when the news came out and said this is going on and that's going on, the people back there, Americans, they only knew what the media was telling them. They only knew what their government was telling them. And, you know, what do? You not trust anybody's word for, you know, back in those days, a man's word was like gold. You wouldn't say it on the news if it wasn't true, kind of thing. But that was wrong, because there were things that weren't necessarily going on that, you know, basically nudged everybody into that conflict. And the fact that there was literally prior knowledge to the fact that there was supposed to be going to be a Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor, and nobody did anything. Could they have stopped them before it started, you know? Hey, you know, I see your planes coming. We're going to shoot you down if you don't turn around and go back the other direction. That whole process could have been averted, but there were individuals who wanted that war to occur. So they allowed it to get bombed.
You know, sacrifice of 2,500 people, just a few people.
Daniel Cliff, who's author of Name of War,
well, you know, people say that's impossible that the government would allow 2,500 people to die in Pearl Harbor to go to war. But the same government allowed 3,000 people to die on 9/11 to go to war. Numbers of people don't mean anything to them at all. It's the NDE.
And he's been quoted a billion times. He who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. He who reads the newspaper is misinformed.
Yeah.
That goes to modern-day news broadcasts on television, internet, whatever. Those people don't want to tell the truth. They can't, because they go by ratings, and ratings get them advertising sponsors. And the more dramatic they can make something sound, the more people listen to them, and the more the ratings go up, they don't care about truth or lie. They'll tell you whatever they have to get you to listen to their show so that they can get more money, more ratings. It's all about money.
Well, the key to information... The key to information is to verify and check the validity of the information you're receiving and not just believe in everything you heard just because somebody that you trust says it, you know. Check on it. Check in multiple directions. Do whatever you can to literally verify the information, check its validity, and then make your choice from that point. And that stinks because if you can't... You know, when I said that a man's word is worth its weight in gold, that's only... See, truth is subjected to the honesty of the person telling it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You know, at least, you know, one thing I really like in the... I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but the one thing that he is doing right now that I give him kudos for, that every speech that he gives, he is calling the mainstream media, calling them liars, calling them crooks. Right on mainstream, guys. So they're getting called out. People are becoming aware that the mainstream isn't giving the information out that should be given to the public, and they're involved with this whole ordeal right to the teeth. They are absolutely involved. They're controlled by the people behind the curtains, and what we see on mainstream is only what they allow us to see, nothing else.
Yeah.
And that's being called out right now. So I say kudos. I say kudos to Trump for that.
Well, like Donald Trump. I mean, man tells it like it is. He's not afraid to say the truth.
He's raising a lot of poop.
Well, you know, like I said...
Get rid of all the corruption and the crime.
Like I said, you got to verify you got to verify the information coming out there, and especially I did a video back in 2011 about warning to the world, and that was when they were doing the switch over from analog TV to digital TV. And I saw it coming before it ever even happened, that, you know, you would have to be really skeptical and really observant to see the difference between fact and fiction, because in the day of modern day blue screen, green screen, and CGI technology, they can make events occur that never even happened. And you saw some of that back in the videos of 9/11. But the key to this is paying observation, attention to detail, such as when you got two news reporters on two separate stories that are supposedly half a town apart, you know, and they're reporting on a supposed shooting. Then you see a car and a van in the video on one side go through to behind the scene of the lady that's supposedly clear across town talking. That should be a red flag. Truth be told, they were only 30 feet apart in the parking lot doing two separate stories, supposedly one from across town and one from right there, and it turned out the whole deal was bogus to begin with.
They've been caught blue screening many, many times, she says.
Yeah. And that's why I said, you got to pay attention.
This whole deal in California, buddy, I've been looking into it a little bit. I haven't had a lot of time to look into it, but everything about it stinks. Everything about it stinks. It's all part of the agenda. Expect more of these events very, very shortly.
Well, you judge people by their actions, and so whenever you start seeing them pass these laws that are right out of the storybook, like that was that 1984 or something like that. You start seeing these laws being passed, like indefinite detention, you know, indefinite detention without any kind of warrant or whatever, that all they have to do is just suspect you and thought crimes and such, you know. You better be ready, you better be prepared, because when they start passing them laws, they don't pass laws for nothing. They pass laws because they plan on, down the line, maybe having to use it. Martial law, for example, you know. What happens if we go into World War, or not World War III, but Second Civil War? The only way to ensure continuity of government is to have a plan such as martial law, where you suspend all rights and have curfews, and everybody has to be in at a certain time, and you can literally be shot on the spot if you are caught out after curfew. You see what I'm saying? That's a slippery slope. And that's exactly where we're heading down the road. They pass these laws ahead of time so that in the future, if they got caught skewing the numbers on the stock market or, some blatant criminal act that the president or the government committed on the people, such as potentially 9/11 or episodes such as, that the American people would be so mad that they'd rise up, and you have to have something in play that says, oh, look, well, we got these terrorists, these extremists. You know, everybody's a terrorist. Everybody's an extremist. Everybody's a potential criminal. You got cameras in your face. You got cameras behind your back. Probably cameras in every single direction, watching you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, scanning your emails, watching you what you say and do on the internet, and so on and so forth. It's like something out of a bad movie, man. You want to talk about freedom? Let's talk about how to figure out how to truly be free. Shut off your internet. Shut off your power grid. Shut off all your cellular devices. Live out in the woods in some shack. How long is it going to be before the government comes along and says, you're on private property or government property? You know? You see where I'm going now?
Yep.
It's just nuts.
Out of control.
Yeah, and the only way to get it under control is for people to start paying attention and start talking and start pointing it out. You turn the lights on and the roaches scurry. Leave the lights on and the roaches won't come back. That's the way it works, because they know if you see them that you're going to step on them. You know? That's it. That's what the government doing to you. You think the government ain't going to step on you if you get in the way? Run up there and stand on the White House lawn and see how long it takes for you to get beat up.
You know what, Shazaz and Raymond, there's going to come a time very shortly that people, if they don't become active right now, they are going to be cursing themselves for not becoming active. I honestly believe that. We are really sitting on a pinnacle right now, and Americans are waking up. Whether they're going to wake up fast enough and whether we can get together as a society now with the divisions that have been put into our society over the last 30, 40 years by design, that I think is the monumental challenge for the human race right now. Because everything we see happening in our society right now has been thought out in great detail over many, many years. There has been think tank after think tank after think tank of evil individuals that sit around and decide what's going to happen in the future. And what we're seeing right now is an accumulation of all these events coming to
Yeah,
we are. She says
we are.
I've ever. I mean, you know, 8 years ago, guys, when I started going down the rabbit holes, I think it was about 8 years ago. I sat down and watched 9/11, Architects for Truth, the first time I ever really opened my eyes to what was going on inside the government. I knew at that point that one day in history we were going to be looking at the scenarios we see right now, and now we see it unfolding in front of us at absolute light speed. It just boggles my mind. It's like they are putting so many events in progress right now that it is really hard to keep track of what's going on. The normal person can't even begin to contemplate what's going on.
Barry,
and it's not by design, sir.
Those of us who care are putting ourselves in the crosshairs and getting ourselves on the list to speak out.
Boy, I'm on the list.
Oh, I'm sure I'm on the list.
I'm on the list, Shazaz, to be quite honest.
I'm probably on page one of the list.
If I'm not there, then I'm doing something wrong, because I know that when the poop hits the fan and things really get crazy, the first people they're going to come after is people like you and me and Raymond, anybody in the world that speaks against them. We'll be round up and we will be either exterminated or disposed of or dealt with first, because they're going to silence all the voices.
For those who think that this isn't possible, all you got to do, look over in Canada, look over in France, and watch what's going on, because, you know, the waves start somewhere, and it worked its way toward you. So, you know, what's going on in France, where you got basically militarized police kicking in doors and searching places without any warrant and such, that's coming to a neighborhood near you. If you allow this to continue to go, it's coming to a neighborhood near you. We're basically telling you, start putting the sandbags up around your property and your towns and stuff, because the wave is coming. You know what I mean?
It is, bud. It is. The problem too, Suzanne, is, you know, when these events do unfold, it's going to hit so many people blindside. It's going to blind so many people in society that society will probably give the government the reaction that they want. And that's total chaos. And it'll allow them to bring in the new solution. We are your savior. When things get crazy in a society, the first thing that people do is turn to their government. And the government knows this, and they're going to play that right to the T, buddy. We know when the currencies have collapsed, that the government will step in and say, we've got a new currency. Everybody's going to have to follow the rules. We're wiping out all the debts. We're going to start from scratch. And these are the new rules. And people will go, okay, great. Because they'll have no choice. They can't go to the store and get food. They can't get electricity. The lights go off. They can't get gas for their vehicles. Boy, you do that to a society, guys, and watch society go crazy in a couple days.
And that's why I say that if people out there want to know what we're up against, go find on Netflix or wherever, find the series Jericho and watch it from start to finish. And if you don't understand what's happening after watching that show, you will never understand, and you will be one of the ones that Barry talked about that's going to get caught by surprise, and you will be one of the ones who was depicted in that video willing to allow the murderous group to come in there just so that they could be safe. You know, we'll give you all of our food, we'll give you everything, just don't hurt us. You know?
I'm going to have to step away here for a minute and use the bathroom.
All right, well, I think it's time for a good old music break anyway, so...
Can you play that song there? I posted in type there. You probably have that on your list. Let's play that for the break.
Which one is it? I don't see it.
Johnny Cash. Buy the book.
You got that? I don't know if I have it or not. I'll have to look, but if I do got it, I'll just throw some Stevie Ray Vaughan on for a second to see if I got that.
Yeah, okay, I'll be back in five, guys.
All right, everybody stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Were the devil. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. The cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Written long ago about a kingdom on a mountain and the valley folk below. On the mountain was a treasure buried deep beneath a stone, and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend. Bloody morning after, one tin soldier rides away. So the people of the valley sent a message up the hill, asking for the buried treasure, tons of gold for which they'd kill. Came an answer from the kingdom, with our brothers we will share all the secrets of our mountain, all the riches buried there. Now the valley thrives with anger, your sword and they kill the mountain people. So they won their just reward. Now they stood beside the treasure on the mountain, dark and red. Turned the stone and looked in the pit. Peace on earth was all it said. Go ahead and hate your neighbor. Go ahead and cheat a friend. Do it in the name of heaven. You can justify it in the end. Won't be any trumpets blowing come the judgment day on the bloody morning after. Hunting soldier rides.
Knocking at the house, there's a rockin' dome. Mother, come on in.
All right, everybody, we're back. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, ShazizRadio.com. And if you want to join in on the conversation, jump over there to www.ShazizRadio.com/superchat.html. It's easy enough to become one of the Knights of the Round Table if you believe in the cause and what we talk about and the solutions that we try to come up with together. Is to add me as a contact on Skype there, and you can call in live and be on the show, or you could just be an honorary knight and show up down there in the chat room and post links. Over at the superchat.html, you have the luxury of being able to talk to not just the Shaziz Radio people, but the people over at Awake Radio as well. So, with that said, been a really interesting conversation we've been having here, guys. You know, we talk about freedom and security and such, and there's those individuals out there who would manipulate the minds and hearts of society to not only just get us into wars, perpetual state of war, perpetual state of fear, and at the same time keep continuing to get wealthier and gain more power via, you know, depleting our constitutions of whichever nation we're at. So what are you guys' thoughts on the matter? Anybody? Don't everybody jump the microphone at once. I don't want nobody to chip a tooth.
Oh, sorry. I was just away for a couple seconds there, and I missed what you were saying. Sorry, buddy. I just got back in here. So
well, I was just saying I won the lottery, and I got $500 million now, so I'm rich.
Well, hey, listen, I've got some ideas for that. You know what, I'll tell you something, I'll get you onto something just for 1 minute here, Shaziz. Something I'm passionately involved in, of course, is the hemp plant. And I've kind of lately here been rubbing shoulders with a gentleman in the community here is a multi-millionaire, owns basically half the town of Terrace. Well, he added me on Facebook, and we've been kind of conversing back and forth. We've been talking about solar. We're actually doing a feasibility study for him right now based on the hours of sunlight we get in Terrace and if a project is feasible here. But something else that really grabs his attention is I shared a video with him, Shiz and Raven, of a blowtorch being projected onto a piece of hempcrete about a foot away, a very, very hot flame coming out of a blowtorch directly being applied to a piece of hempcrete. And in this video, they hold the torch on the hempcrete for about a minute and a half. After about a minute and a half, there is no fire, there is no smoke. The hempcrete has basically got a black spot on the outside. That's the only effect the flame had on the hempcrete. Well, I say to people, I say, imagine, just imagine a world for a minute, guys, where fire departments become a thing of the past. The thousands of lives that we lose every year in fires become a thing of the past. The millions of dollars that are spent fighting fires every year become a thing of the past. And that is a reality simply by implementing hempcrete all through our society. It makes a product that's five times as strong as wood, will last about 700 to 800 years, emits no pollutants in your air during the course of construction, normal house construction. You're living in a toxic whirlpool. People don't realize that. If we build our houses with hemp, we have no chemicals in the air. I put this in front of them, guys, and I'm going to push a little harder now because I've got his interest to actually start a small mill up here where we're taking industrial hemp fiber, adding lime to it, another chemical, and producing hempcrete and making it available to the market for sale. But when people, guys, I'll tell you guys, when really people start to grasp the concept that we could build everything in our world that will not burn, will last 700 years, will eliminate the need for logging worldwide overnight, what a change in our world that would bring. It gets my mind going in a million different directions. But it's a reality, and it's something that, you know, everybody out there, we're looking for answers, we're looking for solutions on the problem on this earth, but we have to become proactive. We have to actually grab something in our hand, an idea, and run with it. And, you know, I'm not a rich guy. I'm a very poor man. But I'm making sense to people that have money. And people that have families, and they're starting to look at what is going on in this planet. And I'll tell you, if we could put something like that together in Paris here, I think we could set an example for the whole world. It is an amazing product, guys. It's amazing what you can do with the hemp fiber. I just read a report, Shaziz, on superconductivity, the inside fiber of the hemp plant. There's a bunch of scientists right now in Germany that are working on this, and it just boggles my mind. It just seems like there's a never-ending new thing that we can do with it on top of the 50,000 uses that we already know about this plant. So that's something I'm working on right now, guys. I mean, there's so many negatives in our world, and I have to deal in positives. I have to be able to give solutions to people, to present something in their minds that actually is a solution, something that we can grab very easily. This could come very easily in our society if people grab it. So that's what I'm working on right now.
If people...
You realize that in the United States, it's illegal to grow hemp. However, you can get a permit, and it's very highly restricted and controlled. The thing is, a lot of people don't realize, 99.9% of the people in the United States don't realize why the law was passed of banning hemp growing in the United States. It had nothing to do with marijuana whatsoever. DuPont or Procter & Gamble, but whoever was responsible for inventing nylon and nylon rope, and it was right before the Second World War that they wanted to corner the market for all the rope for the military ships. So they paid a lot of money to lobbyists to get hemp outlawed in the United States so they could sell the Navy nylon rope. People don't know this.
That's why it's so important.
You are doomed to repeat it.
Exactly. That's why it's so important that we get back to the subject that we were talking about earlier in this show, history. Study history. Study the history of the hemp plant. Study how widely it was used in our society and has been used in our society for thousands of years as a medicine, as a fiber. Everything that it provides for the earth is beneficial to the planet. And of course, we know the history behind how the Rothschilds and the big boys came along and demonized it, took it out of our society to bring in chemicals and nylons and everything else that's killing our planet. It's time for the planet to wake up to the incredible powers of this plant. If it's implemented worldwide, guys, on a wide-scale basis, I feel there's hope for the planet. It's like the hemp plant can literally heal the planet from the inside out.
Not only study history, study the old science. Go back and get some of the old science books, not the newer propagandized kind of science books, and learn basic science. You know, there are so many things that we could do to... Like, for instance, our infrastructure right now, they say that our power grid is vulnerable because basically it's a bunch of wires hanging across a bunch of poles and so on and so forth. But what you was talking about, superconductivity of hemp, you could use less and still get a better quality and a stronger quality cable going across there if you was going to put cables across. You know, you see where I'm going with that? I'm saying that, why build a house out of sticks? It's kind of like the Three Little Pigs story, you know? You built one, build it out of straw, one build it out of sticks, and one build it out of bricks. It's obvious the guy with the bricks, when the big bad wolf showed up, fared better than everybody else. So if you live in Tornado Alley and you're still building a house out of sticks, you know, hempcrete, you know, like you're talking about, strong. You build that in a dome shape, you know, you got a geometrical shape now that will deflect wind as opposed to grabbing it. You know, you're not living in a kite, so to speak.
Exactly.
See what I'm saying?
Well, it's just a matter of educating the public of the advantages of it and making the public demand it. And if we can set a precedent somewhere for that and the society really starts to look at what's going on with it, I'm sure the demand will be there because we are deforesting the planet at an incredible rate. We've taken, 50% of the wood off the planet now? Is those stats that I'm reading? I mean, we're destroying forests that have incredible medicinal values for the planet that we're not even exploring yet. It's such a tragedy in our society, guys, and it can all be stopped by simply bringing in the hemp plant. But the powers to be know that, and that's why, of course, they're going to fight it to the very end. There's no THC in industrial hemp. There's absolutely no reason for it to be an illegal product, and yet we're going down this road.
We got to send a tsunami of common sense and ideas and solutions across the globe to the average Joe. I got to add Thomas in there. If people do that, I'll do it. We're live, man. Come on. All right, hold on, everybody. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table. Mad Thomas in here, if I can find him. Isn't this modern technology just wonderful? He wants to join in on the festivities. All right, let's try that. See if we can get Thomas in there. Anyway, what I was trying to say before the phone rang was that, you know, you got to send a tsunami wave of education and common sense out there to the world, because as it stands, people only believe what they hear. When they go to school and they spend, what, 12, 13 years in school down there listening to the government's version of what science and life is all about, and then that's it. They're compartmentalized. It's back to the movie The Ascension. They truly believed it. They didn't have no reason why other to not believe it, you know? And the shock of finding out later on that maybe something was different than what they were told. I mean, it's like the whole Flat Earth Society out there. Flat Earth versus Global Earth. I mean, what if we found out the world was flat? I mean, wouldn't that just freak you out? I don't know. I don't care. You know, I ain't been off the planet, so I couldn't tell you what shape it is. But once I get off the planet and I can step back and look at the big picture, I'll phone y'all up and say, hey, Barry, guess what? They were right. The Earth is flat. You know, it's nuts. Yeah, and don't go over to that side. You'll fall off. But until I got evidence to I'm not going to waste my time with whether or not the Earth is flat, triangle, or octagon shape, or whatever. All I can tell you is from what I see, everything going on out there, we're heading down a path because we got knuckleheads in charge and other knuckleheads trying to make money, and so they're manipulating the knuckleheads in charge, who in turn are manipulating us and telling us all kinds of craziness. Now, I want the truth. You know, I can handle the truth. Tell me whether it's flat or round, but prove it. I don't want you just saying, hey, this is it, you know, and I'm going to believe it. It ain't going to happen like that. I'm outside the box, and I'm staying outside there. Go out and find an old science book and check that out. Look at the new science books. Match them up together. Look at the old social studies or history books and match them up with the newer ones and see what doesn't add up in there, and ask the tough questions and ask the elderly out there who lived it. You know, hey, this says that World War II never happened. Is that true? And they'll look at y'all kind of cross-eyed. I don't know. I was kind of like sitting down there in this doggone trench and there were bombs and bullets flying my way. I think it was true. You see what I mean? Verify. Verify. That's the only thing I can tell you. Because there's a whole lot of liars out there. There's a whole lot of propagandists out there. There's a whole lot of people with agendas. There's a whole lot of people wanting to make money. They don't want you to know about alternative or free energy because it makes more money to sell what they got. You see what I mean?
Yeah. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Here's an ugly truth I want to see you handle. Can you handle the truth that the fact that a lot of people can't handle the truth and they will actually fall down deep just because you tried to show them the truth?
Yeah, I'm sure of that. But
okay, knowing that this thing is going on, or knowing that thing is going on, seems like it'd be a lot easier to swallow than find out that your best friend ain't really going to be your friend anymore if he finds out that you're trying to tell him the truth, because he's very comfortable living in the happy little lie he's in.
Well, and that's what the guy in the Matrix said. There's some folks that will fight for the system
to
the end, just so that they can keep what they got.
Shaziz, I just sent a gentleman a contact request for you. He wants to join the show. He's going to send you a request there. Maybe you could accept it. His name's Vince Easley. He does a show of his own, and he wants to join in today. So when you see him come up there, could you add him, please?
All right, I'll see what I can do there.
Vince Easley is his name. Interesting fellow. How you doing, Tom? Hanging in there.
No comment.
Okay.
Yeah, no comment.
Okay. That good?
nobody really wants to know just how bad you're doing. So.
Okay.
And I will say that, you know, any issues I have right now or any good things going on will pass. This too shall pass.
Yes, there's always another day.
Right. All right, I added him. Make sure you let him know about the whole no dropping the S-bombs or F-bombs or I don't want to have to edit.
I'll just message him right now.
No I bombs, no Z bombs.
Yeah. Anyway,
maybe some bacon bombs.
Thomas,
is bacon earth, grease bombs.
Thomas, is the earth flat?
Okay, you can pull him in.
I've looked enough through a very powerful telescope to know that there are other bodies out there that are not round. And I don't buy that whole, well, you're looking through a curved lens, so everything looks curved because of the curved lens nonsense. Because I've seen things moving, spinning around at a distance. And, there ain't no other way to explain it except that it's spherical, so that supports gravitational theory that large masses of material tend to agglomerate into spheres. We see it happen, too, like a drop of water falling through the sky is actually round.
Yeah, but don't you know that you're not supposed to pay attention to the man behind the curtain? You're just supposed to, hey, believe what I said, and that's it, you know?
Well, the other thing, too, is I have messed with a lot of turtles when I was a kid, and they don't like having things put on their back, so... we'd be hurtling down through space if we were being carried around on the back of a turtle.
So
it wouldn't take long before they'd decide they don't like having whatever it was that was on their back there anymore.
Did we get Vince in there?
I just messaged him to call you there.
Shazam, so. Well, I added him to the
phone.
Yeah, I know,
but he's trying to get into the show here.
Oh.
I don't know what the problem is.
Hold on, let me try it again.
I do. It's Skype.
See if you can add him.
I could try, but we'll try. Anyways, just he wanted to get in and have a chat with you guys.
Well, it says he's in the room, but I don't see him yet. All right.
Neither do I.
Any luck?
Oh, well.
I'll try it again.
What's this guy's name? Vince?
Vince is his name. I was on Chuck Acelli's show last night. He does a show a couple times a week, and I'm going to do a show with him later on this week, but having a conversation with the gentleman. Pretty informed. Loves talking on the air.
It says he's in there.
I don't know what's going on there. Anyways.
Hold on, let me hang this call up and call you all back. Alright?
Alright. Yeah. Make him a tree star. Alright. To be on his end.
Try it again. We're live. Yes, I want to make the call. Alright, there. Who we got in there? Do-do-do-do-do.
Hello.
How are we
going? Vince, how you doing?
Doing great.
This is the Knights of the Round Table, Vince. I'm sitting with some pretty cool people here. Shaziz, the mad scientist, and a couple of really good minds. We're just talking about whatever comes to our minds, issues in the world, and craziness we see.
And we are live.
Right on. Shaziz, you look like you're related to Einstein.
Well, hey.
You're not the first person to say that.
The guy's got good hair.
Yeah. Well, let me introduce myself. I'm Vincent Easley.
You guys seen the stabbing? You guys just hear the stabbing in London? Man stabbed on the London YouTube in the railway?
Well,
get to the second. Let's just introduce himself.
Tell us in a bit because Vince is trying to introduce himself.
Yeah, just give a sec here, Justin, and we'll go to that, buddy.
Okay.
Go ahead, Vince.
Hey, first of all, it's great to be on with you. Barry, I've been seeing your work with Chuck Acelli. Chuck's a good friend. We work together at UCY.TV. I'm still part of UCY.TV as at-large host, producer, and publicist. I am also at World Truth, Real Liberty Media. I'm doing a show Fridays there at noon central. It's called This Is No Time for Rational Thinking. My co-host, Flash, is in Denmark. He's an American in Denmark. And this week, Barry's graciously accepted the invitation to come on with me. I'm going to run a special this week. I've got Chuck Acelli, Earth Defense Force, and Barry Prince, and I'm looking to get Ron Stevens to fill the last slot. So I'm pretty sure I'm all about what you guys are, and that's sharing information and ideas. My My strong point is connecting voices. My weak point is, I guess, I don't keep up with what's going on in the mainstream, period. I don't even watch news unless it's accident, at being at a friend's or something. But it's what I do. I like to look back and see how things came about. And from there, you can pretty much see what's going on in world events today. And nothing more to fulfill this age-old plan of theirs.
Right on.
Well, that's pretty...
Never has it been more true that history repeats itself, guys.
That's pretty much in line with our way of thinking as well. You know, basically started off today's show by pointing out that there's a lot of things going on out there according to what the mainstream media says and, you know, government propaganda and or whatever. But you got this perpetual terrorist fear all the time. The boogeyman's behind the bushes. He's up under the bed. He's in the closet. And it's a continuous, grind. You know, it's a never-ending, like the war on drugs or the war on terrorism, whatever. It's a circular deal that all it does is every time somebody does something stupid, they try to take away everyone else's rights, punishing everybody for the ignorance, if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
I absolutely do, and it's funny to me that so many people, I hate this word awake, so many people claim to be awake. I like to use the word aware, but they fall right for the same old dialectic, and people are always looking to find division instead of where we can find commonality. And I like to say we have strength in our diversity as long as we can set aside our differences. If you believe in God, don't believe in God. If you're a Democrat, Republican, whatever, you know, there is common ground, and that's where we need to be working at instead of concentrating on our efforts in division.
Well, exactly, and in this world today, with all we're in a world of deception. It's just plain and simple, and unfortunately, it's a dangerous world. And until we all realize that we're not going to get anything accomplished until we work together, I keep telling everybody about the whole government. I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-stupidity. I'm anti-lack of common sense. You know, you got brilliant minds all over this planet who have all kinds of ideas and information and solutions, from everything ranging from alternative energy to alternative medicine to alternatives to just about anything you can think about. All right?
And there is deception in the distraction that is given to us. And that, by the way, was the title of last Friday's show, Deception and Distraction. Deceiving.
Yeah.
Master's at it.
And that's the whole key. The folks out there in charge, the ones with the money, the ones that are pulling the strings behind the scenes, they don't care about you. They don't care about anything other than the bottom line, how much money and power that they can gather up. And unfortunately, you ever seen that show called The Dots, Vince?
The Dots?
Yeah, there's a video out there with
yes, Larkin Rose. Yeah, I met Larkin in Vegas last year. His speaking engagement there.
Cool. Well, it's so close to the truth. You got a little minority of dots who's basically controlling the world there, and everybody out there who's got common sense. If you point out, like the man behind the curtain, like me and Barry standing over there, and they say don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, but Barry says, well, but the emperor's naked, you know. You know. And you point it out, suddenly you're a tinfoil hat wearing nutcase.
We'll add one more list of their things they're good at, guys, and that's the master of division.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do.
Well, of course, you know, everything we're seeing right now in our society, the divisions we see in our society, like I've said this many times before, have been put here over many years to bring us to this point in time, where we are so divided as a society that we cannot identify the enemy.
Well, and that whole divide and conquer thing, it goes there. It crosses every single border. It crosses every single race, religion, so on and so forth. Because you know, as long as they can keep us fighting amongst each other, it's like you know what they do in boxing, where they'll shake one fist up in the air and you look at that, and then they clock you with the other one.
Exactly. And then the old ropey dope.
Yeah.
Hit you with the right and smoke you with the left.
That's what they're doing. So, Well, I'm trying to tell everybody out there, I don't want anybody to live in fear, and I'm not trying to invoke a violent revolution or anything. All I'm telling you is to put some common sense in your head, start doing some research and paying attention and supporting those behind the scenes that do research. There are some brilliant individuals out there. And if we could ever get some of these ideas, like what Barry was talking about, hempcrete, if we could ever get that in the mainstream, you know, there might be less fires or whatever, you know. There's so many different potential products out there that could come to market that could be beneficial for people that aren't be coming to market. It's like this. You can't sell drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell no guns and ammunition if ain't nobody at war. You see what I mean?
Absolutely. And there's many weapons in there, or tools in the arsenal that is used against us. And the idea of the psychology of grenades, which is unfortunately what most Americans and people around the world, for that matter, that's where their perception comes from. It's been given to them. I call myself, among the many me, the names I have, paraphrase plagiarist, the propaganda panda. And after all, there's not a lot very often that we might formulate ideas for ourselves, but generally what we have is something that we've gotten somewhere else, and then we formulate it into our own lives, making it a part of who we are. So I think it's very, very important that we question all things, especially our most sacred dogmas that we hold dear.
Well, and that's why I say verify, you know. Right now, you know, some folks are anti-religious or anti-creation or whatever, but I can't verify that the twos or the fros. Even though I classify myself as a Christian because of my own personal beliefs, I can't tell you 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt, all right? But everything out there in this world, I'm not going to take it just because somebody said it. I'm going to research and I'm going to verify. I'm still in the process of verifying my own beliefs, you know. I'm walking my own spiritual journey. I'm not forcing it on nobody. I'm not telling you you're stupid for believing what you believe or not believing or whatever. I'm just trying to walk my own journey. At the same time, I'm seeing things in this world go on that need to be addressed. All right, and if I see it on the news, just because I saw it on the news, especially in today's day and age of blue screen, green screen, and CGI, I'm going to be questioning. I'm going to question everything that anybody tells me, even my best friend, because like you said, propaganda is just like that. I got the message from somewhere about something, and so if I pass that on as if it's the gospel, it's the truth, just because I believe it, and now I got other people believing it, and it wasn't the truth to begin with. That's how they get us, man. That's how the mainstream media manipulates the hearts of the masses and gets them to say, yeah, we got to go over there and bomb them people because of the terrorists. You see what I mean?
And I might think somebody's stupid, but I'm not necessarily going to tell them that. You know, when you call somebody an idiot, the conversation's over. They don't hear anything past that.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I have problems with the whole atheist community out there, all right? I'm not against the atheist or anything, but if you go out there and you're telling everybody that you don't believe in God, why go out there and try to convince everybody that you're right and they're wrong and they're stupid for believing? Because if I was an atheist, I'll tell you the very first thing I'd do, I wouldn't even go around anybody who was even remotely religious. I wouldn't have any conversations with them because I know I'd have to get in a debate with them. And I'm going to waste all the precious time because I know, according to my beliefs, that when I die, I'm dying. And it's it. That's it. Darkness, dust, I'm gone. All right? So I ain't got time for shenanigans. You see what I mean?
Yeah, atheist in itself is oxymoronic to say without God. If you declare that there is no God, that means you know everything there is to know. And without the possibility that there could be a creator that exists outside of that which you know. So if you know everything, you're claiming to be God yourself.
Well, personally,
I hate to say it, but if you claim that there is a God, as if you know that too, claiming that you know everything there is to know.
Well, that's why we're saying, Thomas, that we're proceeding with caution. We don't know.
That's why I said that anybody who basically claims that something is a fact that you can't validate, like the existence of God, nobody can validate whether he is, she is, it is, or isn't.
Well, it's so all faith.
If you say there's no God, I know there's no God, you just basically classified yourself as a believer in something. Oh, no.
Well,
no. You classified yourself as a believer. That means you are now a part of what I call the atheist religion.
That's
you tell yourself this bedtime story that when you die, there is no heaven, there is no hell. You don't have to worry about what you do in your life. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you when you die. You don't have to lay around and think at night, what happens after we die? Where do we go? What is our purpose? You just go to sleep.
That's why
the same thing applies to anybody who believes in any other religion. It's just a bedtime story that happens to work for you. So don't be angry with someone else because they tell themselves a different bedtime story, as long as their bedtime story doesn't tell them to come over and hurt you and your kids.
That's why I'm not an advocate of blind faith. Do you guys hear that? Blind faith. I'm not an advocate of blind faith. I'm saying verify everything that you can potentially verify.
Right. Don't be a blind. Don't give in to blind faith.
Whether it's
in the Bible, the Torah, the Quran or Fox News.
History is a good way to try to verify, as long as you don't rely on one particular text. You verify from other sources. It's the same thing with your doggone government. Hey, you can always trust your government, you know? Right. Know your place and shut your face. That's what they say. But I want to question everything. I don't want people to live in paranoia and fear that they can't trust their government. I want you to be aware enough to where you're paying attention to their actions. Their actions speak louder than words. If they're saying one thing and doing another, then you got a problem.
That's perfect. That's my precept, too. Is I don't pretend to have the answers, but I've got a lot of questions. And as far as information and, if you call it evidence, that is available, for me, it just makes sense that there is a God. I don't like I said, I don't like to call myself a Christian because of the mainstream Christianity is stupid, but I live by the precepts of Christ. And for me, redemption is that actual change inside. It's when you have an empathy for perhaps somebody that you've done wrong for, and it becomes alien to your way of thinking and how you act and respond in life. So what I believe has no effect on anybody, because I don't believe that, you know, I should go kill somebody because they don't believe like I believe or so on.
Well, see, that to me is enlightenment right there. That's.
I think Raymond's going to try to get in there to say something, guys.
Go ahead, Raymond.
Yeah.
The last thing that Thomas said reminded me that there's a third party here. You got your atheist, you got your Christian, or your believer. But you also have your agnostic, the person that doesn't believe, but does not believe. He's waiting to see. So my thing is, I've professed several times, I'm agnostic. I don't know if there is a God, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to live my life as if there is a God, and if I die and find out there is not, I will not be upset. But if I live my life as if there is no God, and I die and find out there is, I'm going to be upset big time. So I'm going to live my life as best I can to help my fellow man.
Those words, we
are all the creator, because where does thought come from?
Well, you know what, man, look, if we're all the creator, we're creating one heck of a mess. That's all there is to it. Until we all come up to the same page, which we can all agree on, it don't matter what you believe or don't believe. It's like this. We're all on the same ball or flat earth, whichever your choice is in the matter, and we all have to live together. And there are individuals out there in this world that are suffering, that need our help. There are individuals out there being bombed that need to be protected. There are criminals running amok. There is all kinds of insanity going on. And if you listen to the mainstream media, you have to give up all your freedom so that the government can protect you from the big bad wolf. And I'm saying no. I'm outside the box, and I'm saying no. I'm building my house out of bricks, Mr. Government Man. I'm not building it out of your straw. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm agreeing with this. I don't trust the mainstream news media myself, because I've said it many times. I'm going to say it again. Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, said, he who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. He who reads the newspaper is misinformed, and the mainstream media today is the newspaper.
The only time I ever watch them anymore is to see what they're lying about.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Raymond, yeah, you said about the agnostic thing. The big difference that I've seen between an agnostic and what I would call a Gnostic, that's basically somebody who thinks that they know something,
right,
is that you know, if you're an agnostic, that you what you don't know, and you're willing to accept that you might be wrong, and the fact that you choose to do the things you do doesn't it keeps you from basically going over to the extreme.
Well, let me ask you a question, Thomas.
If you think you know something for a fact, you can get nuts because you think you're right. You just believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are absolutely right, and therefore you have to do everything you can because there, like, you know, the whole Christian thing, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and these other people are definitely going to hell, and no matter what you do to them, it doesn't matter if it helps potentially keep them from going to that fiery pit.
Let me ask you a question,
all of a sudden,
Thomas.
You know, you're out of control.
Let me ask you a question, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a such thing as a classification as an agnostic Christian, one who just goes by faith alone because that's all I got is faith? Because I wasn't there when all this stuff was going down. All I know is that from the information
like
I got,
based it doesn't my matter. It doesn't matter what your belief system is. If you're agnostic, you know it's still a belief system that it won't be a known system until you do die.
Well, that's
so
what I say.
To the best of your best of your ability,
you hit the key point.
Other people, you know,
you hit the key point. Let's worry about that bridge when we get there. All right, we'll find out at the end who is right and who's wrong. Meantime, we got problems in this world that need fixing. All right, there's people that are
going to be pretty upset if when they all die, they get up there and they find out Odin's at the gate.
Well, if Elvis is at the gate, it don't matter. All I'm saying is right here in the here and now, because my book says no man knows the time or day he'd come like a thief in the night. Meanwhile, we still got to live here. There's people out there in this world that are starving and need help, you know. So I think that us being the caretakers of this world, we need to get on it, because my grandchildren got to grow up in this world.
You know what my question is to people who are Christians? Who is Christ? Who are you guys following named Christ? I don't know no one named Christ.
Christ.
Well, Christ means Messiah.
No. Christ. And if you believe in Christ and you follow his ways and you try to be like him, you're a Christian or one like Christ.
That's a play on words.
Somebody said, no. Somebody has tinkered with the words and the belief system to try to basically create all these nutters that are willing to go and bomb people and shoot people and, you know, crucify them. And, you know, you remember what all happened during the Crusades.
Yeah, but that wasn't the Christian side of it. That was the Roman Catholic side of it, and that's just taking us down the rabbit hole. Let me explain one last time why I call myself a Christian. All right, one last time, and now I'm never going to say this on air again because it's wearing me out. All right, there was a story, whether you want to call it fact or fiction, fairy tale or not. There was a man in the book that went around talking about doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. He's talking about love thine enemy. There were 10 commandments set down that I classify as pretty much the golden rules of life. I don't want to live in a world where people don't believe thou shalt not kill. I don't want to live in a world where people want to steal from each other and all that kind of stuff. So from where I stand, my version...
Well, they're not willing to help each other whenever they see somebody suffering.
Well, I stand... My version of Christianity is because I believe in what... I agree with what that man had to say. I agree with what that man sacrificed. I would feel like I would want to do that myself if it would make the world a better place. But that's where it goes. That's where it stops. I read the book, and I know the stories in the book. There's a lot of good information in there. Somebody a couple thousand years ago was wise enough to say a bunch of stuff that just so happens to look like what's going on in today's world. So that's where I base my faith. You know, I'm not forcing it on nobody. I'm not trying to knock anybody else's belief system because I don't know who's right and who's wrong. What I do know is from observations. Hold on a second. What I do know is from observations, I can see the troubles in the world going on. I know that there are wars that are being based off of oil and resources and stupidity that should not be occurring. And it's going to take the average Joe to get off the couch, be proactive, clean up your own neighborhood before you complain about somebody else's.
There you go.
Exactly.
Well, like I said, that means that you're choosing to be like this guy. You're not using, you're not picking and choosing from that book to create an agenda.
No, I'm not.
So, I mean, that kind of pulls, that's like Vince was saying, that pulls you away from the herd of Christians. Because a lot of them will use it as an excuse to, they'll see somebody sitting on the side of the road with some kids and a dog, you know, needing food and whatnot, and they'll use any and everything that they can where they piece together and create this hodgepodge monster of words that came from that book, which you could do this with any book in the world, to make it okay for them to ride by and ignore them.
Well, look at this. I say, Jesus said to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And I would see that man there, and I would see myself in that man, and I would stop and I would assist that man.
Exactly.
Regardless of what mainstream people would say, if you give that man money, he's going to buy drugs.
Listen, man, you're skipping past the words in that book, and you're using the thing it says several times, that you should ignore words in the Bible or anywhere else and use your wisdom.
Where does
wisdom is the ability to empathize and connect with other people.
Well, where does it say that?
I've
never ever read that in the Bible.
Hold on. What is the thing that he said for you to pray for? Do you remember the phrase where he said, they were like, what should we pray for? And what's the one thing he said? He didn't say...
He said wisdom, but he also said verify. He said verify.
Right, and that's how you verify. Wisdom is the ability to verify, because that's your discernment, your ability to basically look into the world and see past the cover and see into the book.
And that is the how of the trivium. Wisdom.
You have to be able to read between the lines when he says something like that, because like I said, he didn't say, okay, when you pray for things, the most important thing for you to pray for is a complete and total recall of every single passage in the Bible. No, because the whole thing that he was pushing for, and that was the other people who cared enough to write down that stuff that were pushing for, the original writers, they were pushing for people to be more wise. They were just trying to pack as much wisdom into what they were putting into that as possible. So if you use true wisdom, you don't have the excuse that you didn't get to read that book.
Well,
knowledge is already in your head and in your heart.
That's exactly what I've said several times on this show. History. Study your history so you don't make the same mistakes over and over again.
Well, the other thing, too, is that everyone that wrote down any of that stuff for that book knew full well somebody else at some point was going to tinker with it in order to create an agenda. And if you use your wisdom, you can see past their nonsense.
Well,
and you can see the truth that was left behind in that book by those people.
Regardless, it even goes into the alternative energy community. There's those knuckleheads out there who will do all kinds of crazy stuff and try to fake a bunch of stuff to get attention and all that kind of stuff there. I even pay attention to those folks, because even in their shenanigans, they teach you something. So I'm willing to learn even from the knucklehead. You understand what I'm trying to say there?
That's a place to learn.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember the little passage where Christ told them that if you divorce your wife, you make her an adulterer? Now, who's King James? Why did he do what he did with creating the King James Version of the Bible and break free of the Catholic Church to create the Protestant Church? Because the Pope wouldn't let him divorce his wife?
He loved his wife, but he wanted an heir, and his wife could not get pregnant, so he had to get rid of her so that he could have another wife and have an heir to the throne. But the thing is, he loved her and didn't want to kill her. So he had to rewrite the Bible so he could divorce her and not be in trouble for it.
All right, guys, we're getting down to the wire, but I got to make this point real quick. I'd like to finish this debate up, some other time, but The fact of the matter is you can see it. It's not just in life in general. It's not just in politics. It's also in religion, because you got all these people debating over which one of the denominations of Christianity is right or wrong, which one of the Buddhists or the Hindus or the Muslims and all that kind of stuff. And I'm telling each and every one of you out there, it don't matter, because we're all heading down the same path. When you're born, you're going to eventually die. You'll find out at the other end of that deal. In the meantime, from my book, it says that no man will know the time or day. He'll come like a thief in the night. And that's the same way disaster is going to show up whenever you least expect it. And if you're not ready for it, it's going to mop you, period. So let's get our act together. Let's bring all these networks and all these voices together. Let's get to the table. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about, bringing these ideas and solutions to the table and getting people motivated enough to be proactive to fix this mess before it gets out of hand. Because once World War III starts and we just went over the cliff into the abyss, there ain't no turning back. It's a done deal. There ain't going to be no winner of no second Civil War. There ain't going to be no winner of World War III. And if you think you're one of the elites that's going to run down that bunker, more power to you. You just walked into your tomb, and that's exactly what's going to end up being. So I don't want to see that happen. I want nobody hurt. Peace.
This is a great conversation today, guys.
I would leave one thing that I think is most important, and it should be applied to almost every belief system. That's that meme that you, if you look around, you'll see where it's Christ sitting around, and all the people around him are asking him questions, and he says, you know, love your enemies and your neighbors as you love yourself. And they're like, well, what if he's gay, or what if he's a Muslim, or what if he's black, or what if he's white, what if he's a cop, what if he's a civilian, what if he's this? And the response is, did I stutter?
Let me end with just saying that by following the precepts of Christ, and I like this, Tom, is to be Christ-like. Christianity, mainstream Christianity, is following the teachings from the pulpit. And that's when we need to go back to the first part of the Trivium and learn our grammar, because the words that were written 2,000 years ago have other meanings than what they do today. So to make an assumption on grammar that you have an understanding of, you can't move to the logic and onto the rhetoric.
Right. Great conversation today, guys. Thanks.
What about you,
Raymond?
Well, I'd like to say that I would like to sum up this program in just a few words. Together we stand, divided we fall. And that's what you just said a minute ago. We,
brother,
of this world, need to pull together and network ourselves and help each other. I don't care, like Thomas said, I don't care if you're black, red, green, or purple with yellow polka dots. If you need help, I'm
going
to do what I can to help you.
I agree. And so with that said, I don't care whether the earth is flat, round, triangle, square, octagon, or whatever. All I care about is there's people in this world that are in need of assistance, and my grandchildren and your grandchildren are going to have to grow up in a world of total chaos if we don't get our act together. If you don't pay attention to history, then you'll find yourself in the same position some of the individuals in the past have found themselves in.
Have to. We're living in that chaos now.
Well, yeah, I think we pretty much got one foot over the abyss right there, you know. It's like that song, One Toke Over the Line. You know?
Yep.
All right, folks, you've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. The podcast will be up soon, and thank you, everybody, for it was a brilliant show. And Vincent, it was good to have you on here. I'd like to have you on here again sometime if you're interested. So,
absolutely. Thank you all very much.
Everybody, hey, take care. Thanks. Peace and love.
Old woman, ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Ho, ho, ho! Tu saves the turtle! Continue to serve the table and the knights of the round table.